Blog Talk Radio.
Okay. Wow. Ah. Sounds good. Oh. Wow. Always wanted to be a jazz person. I'm Kay Thompson, everyone. Whoa, listen to this. Ayana, you're doing it well. Anyway, good evening, everyone. Good evening. I am Kay Thompson, and this is the Kay and Gus Show here on GoPro Radio Network, BW Moving Images, right out of Jersey City. Will you listen to that music? Whoa. Yeah, I do like jazz. Got a surprise for you guys today, tonight. We are going to be talking to Bob Pickett and Bob Flay from 107 WBLS. I can't wait. I am so tickled about this. They're going to be calling in, and we're going to be talking to them about the tribute and about a number of other things, including politics. By the way, we do news, information, education, and global communication issues and hot topics. And I'm your host, Kay Thompson, and my partner is Gus Henningberg. And we're going to be talking to Bob Pickett and Bob Slade as soon as they get up on the phones and, not get up, but I mean get to the phones. And we're going to be talking about a number of things, all these hot topics. I don't know how many of you have been watching the Democratic Convention. I also watched the Republican convention, as disappointing and as that was. I didn't expect anything else, but the Democratic convention was absolutely fantastic. I hope that I will not have to miss President Obama. I think he's going to be either tonight or tomorrow night. And I think former President, Bill Clinton might be on tonight. Am I right, Ayana, you think? Lisa knows. I mean, she's keeping me up to date. Ayana, what do you think? Who's going to be on? Wow. But wait a minute, everybody. Did you see Michelle Obama? Did you see her? Did you hear her? Did you feel her? Did you feel her exuberance? Did you feel her professionalism? Did you feel her absolute excellence? Did she do us proud? Michelle Obama. Boy, I'm telling you, she should run for president. All right, Barack, your time may be over for the time being because your wife tore it up, I'm telling you. Let me get to the calls right now. I'm Kay Thompson, and, let me see who's on the line. I have a caller, right, Ayana? Ayana Jones is in there, and she's keeping me up to date on everything going on. Hello, you're on the air. Hello.
Hey, this is Bob Pickett and Bob Slade. How are you?
I'm fine. How are you, Bob Pickett and Bob Slade? How are you doing?
All right. Everything is good, sister.
Fantastic. This is the first time I'm able to talk to you guys.
All right. Yeah. How are you doing today?
We're doing okay.
Glad to be on your show.
I'm glad to have you, really. As a matter of fact, Bob Pickett, you know, and I know that you were one of Gus Henningberg's first journeys, a long, long time ago. And I remember Gus telling me all about that,
We go back a long way, and Gus is a pioneer and a legend in his own right. For all of those out there who don't know who he is, he was one of the pioneers in black public information TV with Positively Black, and Slade knows him from a long time ago as well. But no, Gus has been around a long time. He started off with the United Negro College Fund, and then worked progressively with the National Urban League and the local Urban League chapters in New Jersey and New York. So no, he's a legend in his own right, and it was an honor to represent him and to be a part of his life.
Yeah. He's he's not doing so well these days, but what I'm asking about him and Bob Slade, what was your relationship with Gus?
A colleague in the business, and of course I admired his work as a broadcaster, took care of business on the air, and like I said, one of the pioneers when all is written and said. He's up there with Gil Noble and all the other giants who were some of the first African Americans to hold down spots on television. I mean, and these are people we grew up watching and wanted to emulate, and we walk in their shadow.
Mm-hmm.
Try to preserve what they stood for all those years. And every time we crack the mic, we crack it in honor of people like Gil Noble and Gus Henningberg. I mean, those
are the
pioneers.
Yeah.
They paved the way for us.
I have to say, the two of you are really tearing it up on Sunday mornings. Are you still on Sunday morning?
Yes, ma'am. We still are. Yes,
right.
We are.
Okay, and you are on BLS now.
Yeah, WBLS 107.5.
I know. I was on LIB right next door. Sometimes.
That's right. Yeah.
BLS.
Yeah.
Right.
The actual location of the station has changed.
You're on
Park Avenue, actually. It's now we're now at 395 Hudson Street.
No kidding. That is so
that we, yeah.
You mean to tell me if I came
that we were at Kiss FM.
You mean to tell me if I came over here, I don't have to go up to the 41st floor anymore, right?
No more. Hell, yeah. Go to the 7th floor.
In the clouds, let me tell you. So where are you now? What floor are you on now?
We're on the 7th floor.
Okay, that's great. But I have to tell people, I know people know you, but you know, you guys you have the most important talk shows in the country. You know, one of the top 100 talk shows in the United States, as a matter of fact, the best public and urban affairs shows in New York, New Jersey, and Connecticut. Where else? All over. Now, Bob Slade, I know you were doing acting, and you were an actor. And how did you get into
it? Yes, a long time ago.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what happened was, I was doing an off-Broadway show, off-Broadway, and I was, then the performance ended, and a guy walked up to me. And after the show, I said, hey, you got a nice voice. Maybe you should be in radio. I thought he was insulting me, saying my performance in the play was so bad that I should feel. But I thought about it for a second. I said, everything that I've been doing since a child was imitating television and radio. I was a big radio fan, listened to the radio all night long. Was a big baseball fan, knew my sports, and knew the movies and all kinds of stuff, and all worked into once. When I got into radio, I was able to go back to that history, knew my music, and I knew all the oldies and who did what, who sang what when, and was able to use that in my radio career. And radio is a form of acting. It's a
thing. Yeah, sure.
On the radio, it's just that you're playing yourself.
Yeah. I'm acting right now. I'm trying to get an FM sound.
you have to worry about that.
Yeah, but WLIP was
you.
So I'm trying to, drop
a
lower octave there just for you guys.
There was a time when AM was the top band on the radio back in the day.
Talk then, right?
Rocker and all. Yeah. Oh my goodness, we had all the radio stars on there.
Yeah.
AM, that was it.
Yeah.
That's what you listen to.
Yeah, I love it. In fact,
one of the pioneers of radio, Hal Jackson, he started his career, Slade and Kate, in AM on AM radio.
Sure.
In New Jersey and in the South. Yeah, I mean,
I know.
New Jersey, he was on WNJR for a long time.
I know. And so was I on NJR. So was Gwen Grant on NJR, as a matter of fact.
Yeah.
And we all have these big histories. I don't know what happened to NJR these days, but Wayne Gilman is here in the house. He's coming in here. He better come right in.
Wayne
is going to be joining us right now. But you guys, you have awards up the gazoo. I'm looking at all this stuff, the history of black music, SIBO Awards, United, Press International, and all this kind of stuff. I mean, you guys have been...
Well, the big one for us is the Peabody Award.
The Peabody Award.
That we won for a documentary on VJ Records. VJ Records is one of the first successful black-owned record labels out of Chicago.
Wow, yeah.
And it was black-owned. Vivian Carter and Jimmy Bracken were the founders of that label, and they had many great acts on it, including the Beatles and the Four Seasons. Including the Beatles and the Four Seasons.
A lot of people don't realize this, Slade, and this is an important story, that VJ Records preceded Motown Records.
Wow.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Listen, let me say hello to Wayne Gilman. Wayne Gilman, how are you? Wayne Gilman is here. We're going to talk to Bob Pickett in a minute. Bob, stay with us, and we will be right back. Going to take a short break so I can welcome properly Wayne Gilman, former news director. Okay, we are back. I'm Kay Thompson, and I'm on the air with Bob Pickett and Bob Slade from Open Mind and
Bob
WBLS.
Too. Oh,
hey,
both
Wayne.
Bobs.
Yeah.
Excuse me.
Listen,
let me genuflect to the west.
How do you notice that?
We call Wayne Sensei. Yes, sir.
Listen to that. I'm really dated now. How are you guys both? I'm sorry. Forgive me, Kay.
We haven't
talked in God knows how many years.
I brought you together.
Yeah, that's a good thing,
yeah.
You know.
That's a great thing.
Well,
I'm thrilled.
Really, I am too.
Yeah.
I am too, you know.
These guys are icons.
Yeah, listen, I pay homage to them.
I listen to them.
Exactly. And I'm so glad that they have been able to continue with their careers.
Yeah,
radio.
Well, we're continuing with our careers.
Yeah, we're in a different
radio
dimension altogether.
Yeah,
you know, just that I'm teaching these little ungrateful, snotty nose kids.
He's actually teaching school, Bob and Bob.
Yeah, I tell you.
That's what we call him Sensei, because, you know, he's been doing this for about 40 years, give or take.
Yeah, he's been a while. He's been around a long time.
He's been out there for a while. And, you know, big ups to you, Wayne. Come on.
Well, the day they started, I say Bob Slade, I met him the same year through a mutual friend of ours, Stephen Reed, who I haven't seen in a long time.
That's right.
Have you seen or talked to Stephen in a while? Or?
I assume he's still working for the Bronx District Attorney.
Yeah, I think so, too. You know, I'm not too far from his office, but to get over there during the day, it's just very difficult, but... there's so much to catch up on, but I defer to you, Kay. This is your program.
Well, of course. You remember that, huh?
Yes.
But listen, we not go back. As a matter of fact, Bob and Bud, it's because of Wayne that I'm back on the radio. Because of the fact that... Because I was invited by Wayne to fill in for Conroy.
Right. We did a fill-in show at WVOX up in Westchester County.
And then he said, asked me if I wanted to come on with him. And I said, heck no, all the way up there, Westchester County.
So I had to come down and pick her up, of course.
Isn't that something? Took a bad service. But what happened when I did it?
Yeah.
And as soon as I walked in there, it was like, bing, I hit the zone.
Yeah, right.
You know, and I said, I am home.
You know, it's like riding a bike.
Yeah,
you know, to me, when I walk in here, other places like this, and I'm certain for the both of you, it's pretty much the same.
Yeah.
You know, that you feel like you're at home. You know what I mean? I find teaching. Really. Because, I mean, I'm trying to get through these kids, and it's just, it baffles me. And I hate to say at the age of 60. You know, I'll put it out there, but, you know, it's just that it's trying.
But let me tell you a little bit about Bob Pickett. You know, Bob Pickett was one of Gus's first attorneys.
Oh, really?
Okay. Now, he's had so many different awards, you know, and in the criminal cases, and he's a former judge in administrative courts in New Jersey.
Mm.
So he's also co-host on this public affairs show. But Bob has been around, Bob, I hate to say it, but a long, long time, right, with your legal practice?
A long, long time.
No, I didn't mean that. Well, wait a minute. You know, I talk badly about Bob's age, then I'm talking about yours.
Oh.
You know? So,
wait a minute. Do you know what's going to happen to this man now? I have control of this mic.
I know.
This is my
show.
Okay.
All right. I'm sorry.
That's right.
Okay, I've been holding this for a long time.
Well,
can I add this? I wanted to add something. It's kind of important to share with the audience that we're missing one element of our show.
Yeah, M. Toomey.
Yep, James M. Toomey, the music icon, music legend, Grammy Award-winning songwriter of such songs as Closer I Get to You, Phyllis Hyman, Stephanie Mills. He is a part of our trio.
Yeah.
And you know, Bob played, and we called him the navigator, was the one that brought all this together. And, you know, one of the unique things about the show, and Wayne, you can certainly chime in, it, is that we all don't preach from the same pulpit. Mm-hmm. And that's the beauty of the show. I mean, you have Toomey on the far, far left, and you have me on the left, right.
Far, right. And on the far, far right. Yeah.
I was going to say center.
He crossed over. He can't get back.
Okay.
Let me ask you about M. Toomey. Is M. Toomey the same M. Toomey? Does he have a little daughter? Is he from South Orange?
He lives in South Orange, yes.
Yeah, well, his daughter came to my dancing studio, the Thompson Dance Studio, years ago.
That's right.
Yeah, in South Ward. Yeah. And I thought so because I remember this little precious girl with the name M. Toomey.
Mm.
And I've just wondered, you know, and I didn't know all these years, and is she well?
Yes, everybody's doing well, and,
all right.
You know, his girls have grown up and are doing extremely well.
Don't say how old they are, because then I have to date myself here, you know. But wait a minute, you guys. Listen, I'm outdone by 3-1 here, Wayne and Bob. But listen, this is for Gus now. The African American Chamber of Commerce of New Jersey, they are giving a humanitarian awards dinner. This is the 2012 Humanitarian Awards dinner. It's called Passing the Torch, by the way, everyone. Mm. And it's going to be September 15th, 2012. You like that FM sound?
Yeah.
I know.
Very sexy.
Yeah. Thank you very much. And it's going to be at the New Jersey Performing Arts Center on 1 Central Street in Newark, New Jersey, right downtown Newark. Registration and cocktail reception. That's going to be beginning at 6 p.m. And the keynote speaker, Honorable David Dinkins.
Oh, very good.
Yeah, yeah. Gus is a good friend. And let me see. And the guests will spend an evening, and they're going to be presenting Gus with a humanitarian award for his leadership, courage, and wisdom, executing strategies that strengthen African-American businesses and communities. So that's what this is all about. And I'm so glad in particular to have Bob Pickett on and Bob Slade, and thinking about him too, maybe, because Bob Pickett is really very important to the African-American community years ago. I remember your name, Bob, quite well. So, and everything is all very favorable. But listen, how about the doggone politics going on in Newark, New Jersey, and New Jersey? What's up? You guys there? You know what?
Yeah, right here.
What's up with your
mayor? Well, the mayor wants to run for governor. We obviously know that.
Which
is why he made an appearance at the Democratic convention.
I wonder if he had to beg to do that speech there.
Excuse me.
He was trying to make an impression for 4 years from now.
Uh-huh.
I mean, there's no question that he has ambitions for higher office.
I thought at one point
in the doghouse with the Obamas, right? I mean, he had done something to offend them.
Because he was so pro-Bain.
He wasn't in the doghouse because he defended, you know, Romney and capitalist and Bain, you know, the investment firm that Romney headed at one point in time, and he tried to soften the Democratic narrative on that, and quite frankly, the narrative was a true narrative, the good narrative, but, you know, with Bain Capital. Romney went in and broke up a lot of companies, and which resulted in the loss of jobs and unemployment for a lot of people. And indeed, you know, Romney in 2008, when the economy was at its worst, suggested that the Motor City, Detroit, should not be saved at all.
Yeah.
And the fact that the president saved Detroit, saved the automobile industry, and there has been a really critical turnaround in that industry over the last 4 years. That industry has bounced back, right, Slade? and it has created, what, 150,000 more jobs than was in 2008. So,
yeah.
Look, it's an incredible story, and it's a story that the Democrats have to continue to tell. I'm at a loss to understand why the president and his people are not going out telling their story and allowing Romney and his minions to argue that the economy is tanking and that he didn't do anything for the economy at all.
Well, you know, I think that this is going to be the turning point with this convention, with the Democratic convention. Then we're going to start seeing the big guns come out.
Well, I hope it's not too little too late.
Yeah.
I happen to agree with Dr. Pickett and Mr. Slade on this, because I firmly believe they should have been hawking this from the
very
beginning.
A long time ago, I agree with you.
And there are too many people out there from the Republican Party, and even from within our own party, who are on the fence.
Yeah.
You know, sending out misinformation about what accomplishments the Obama administration has done.
Yeah, they're not listening.
You know.
But you know one thing, I wonder, you know, Bob and Bob, you know, now, you know, I listen to your program, and we have some of our people who just don't get it. I mean, what's the alternative if you do not vote for, you know, Obama? I mean, he's doing everything right. What do they want? Sure. What do we want?
Yeah, well, that's the whole thing. They think that he, as of being elected the first black president, should be the president of the black United States, but he can't do that.
But it can't be.
He's the president of the United States.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, he passes out little bones here for the Latinos and the gays and this one and that one and so on and so forth. He said, well, where's ours? Well, he has done many things. As a matter of fact, one of the things that he did do this year, and that was a big part of it, our program was a big part of it, was helping with home mortgage loans for 2 years up until, I think, this year, is not this first year they knew it. The first 3 years of the Obama administration, they created a program that helped folks, you know, manage their mortgages, straighten them out, and get with the banks and got all this cooperation. And we went to those events, and they were packed with black folks.
Wow.
Who were on the verge of being kicked out of their homes.
Right.
And these programs saved these people. I mean, and that was just in New York City. The programs went across the country. It's not just New York, but across the country. And anybody can go to one of these events, talk to a banker, and straighten out their situation.
And
stay in their home.
I'm so
and
glad
that was a program that was started by the Obama administration.
No question about that, Bob. And the thing is that if I might, I know firsthand what that feels like.
Mm.
And the thing is that at the time when you wanted to go to the bank and do business with them, as soon as he was elected, all of a sudden, the bank's doors were closed.
Yeah.
They wanted a bailout, but when it came to us,
right,
we weren't bailed out at
all.
Yeah,
exactly.
You know?
Exactly.
So I have to, you know, no question that for that alone, especially property owners around the country, they should be thankful that there's a Barack Obama in the office. And people would.
Oh, yeah.
I mean,
that
program helped many. But, you know, here's the thing that people forget. You got to understand, when Mr. Obama came into office, the country was in a depression. I call it a recession. It was a depression. Mm-hmm. We had lost 800,000 jobs in 1 month.
Exactly.
In January of 2009. That's all because of what happened during the Bush administration. Under George W. Bush, only 3 million jobs were created in the 8 years that he ran the country. 3 million. Whereas Clinton, before him, created 23 million jobs.
Yeah.
All right, so Bush comes in, you got 3 million jobs. Since Obama has been president, we have 28 straight months of private sector job growth, which has resulted in 4.5 million more people employed. And the private sector, the bad part about it is that the Congress has been in the way to stop any improvement in the public sector. Public jobs left and right.
Mm-hmm.
In the old days, to balance the employment situation, Congress would hire more government workers. They're not doing that now.
Mm-hmm.
And that's by design.
Not only that, Slate, though, normally, and you know, having worked in the White House and having worked in a capacity where I could see the back and forth between Congress and the Senate, normally when the economy is tanking, Congress, both Republicans and Democrats, they come together and they respond in a bipartisan fashion. the moment that President Obama was sworn in, the Republicans vowed, and this is really unfortunate, but they vowed that this was not about Obama succeeding, that they were out to make sure that he failed, and they were not going to support anything that would bring back and resurrect this economy, because they want him to fail. And that was a sad day, because when Bill Clinton was in office, he had an opportunity to work with the Republicans, and they worked together in a bipartisan fashion.
Exactly.
This is the first time that a Republican opposition has refused to cooperate to bring the economy back. They want Obama to fail, and they want the economy to be on his back in that failure.
I'm glad you raised that.
Not only that, but
I heard our distinguished former mayor, Rudolph Giuliani, or as Reverend Jackson would say, Giuliana, was on the air the other day talking about how he felt Bill Clinton was the greatest thing since sliced bread, because he would talk with the Republican Party.
Mm.
And it's like, and he almost, you know, he made the inference that Barack Obama never did that, which is not the case at all, you know.
They tell outright lies.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
It is.
All of you will remember. Remember the time Kay and Wayne and Slade, when the president went to a meeting of the Republicans. He went into their house to talk to them and to try to persuade them to let's work together.
Together. Slade, that's right.
You have a very nice term. Tell them about your term. That you view Barack Obama as trying to persuade the Republicans. What's your term?
I usually say that Mr. Obama's gentlemanly forbearance is misplaced in dealing with these people. You have to understand, these people want you out.
Yeah.
They want you out. Too much of a gentleman. He's bending over backwards. Look, let's work together. Biggest right from day one. The night of his inauguration. You know, members of Congress met in a four-hour dinner, and they plotted, you know, Paul Ryan, one of them, you know, Frank Luntz, the pollster, works at Fox, he was there for this dinner, Newt Gingrich was there, they all plotted to do in President Barack Obama, and the reason why, and how they did it was, well, let's go after first the people that are around him, let's go after Timothy Geithner, who is going to be his treasury guy. Let's get him out of the way. He hasn't paid his taxes. Let's go after Charlie Rangel. He's the head of the Ways and Means Committee. Let's get him out of the way.
Yeah.
You know what?
These are all part of the plan.
Yeah. Let's address this for a minute, you guys. Voter repression, okay? Some of the courts, you know, have struck down these voter repression laws. What do you think? What are you going to be telling people about this?
You know, the thing is, I want to feel that there's enough information, given what we've gone through in the last 20 years. I go back to 2000, you know, what happened down in Florida, and 2004 when Kerry against, I'm having a senior moment. Who did John Kerry run against?
I don't know, I'm having one, too.
Yeah, but Bush.
George, you know, Bush.
Second go around, you know, the breakdown that occurred in Ohio, you know. Don't be surprised in the least bit that there may not be a similar situation occurring here. Because, I mean, the template is already there. You know, they want to go back to a certain playbook. So, you know, that might be the most easiest way to perhaps undermine what's going to happen. And then last night, I mean, it was praiseworthy to have the two gentlemen from Texas involved in the DNC address, the keynote address last night, the mayor of San Antonio. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, you know, when you watch the coverage on TV and some of the people that they picked from the Latino community to do like an analysis of what was discussed, you know, I got the impression that there was like double talk there, that I don't think the Latino community is going to be the swing vote again, that we're not altogether pleased with what Barack Obama has done in the last 4 years. But, I mean, a man has done more than any other sitting president in the first term in the history of
ever,
this country. I mean, the deal is, you know, I mean, and even making it easier for those who've stayed in this country and legitimize, you know, their purpose by granting them a right to get an education and to become solid citizens in the United States. To me, it's commendable. I mean, the previous president who's married to a Latina never said anything like that.
Exactly.
Never did anything like that.
And his father also said that about the grandkids. Oh, they're the little brown ones. Do you remember that with Daddy Bush?
Please. You know, I mean, it's just, it's offensive. And and what bothers me, and, you know, I have some. I mean, I embrace them. I don't want to sound like I'm borderline racist here. But the deal is that, no. I mean, I've grown now to the point where I've sort of tempered some of my conversations with people, because I have to think back of what it would be like if people would perceive me if I were to come out, you know. But the deal is that I like to believe that there's a balance to a certain extent. But when you send out subtle messages that we're going to sit this out and see how things play out before we get to the point.
Yeah, balance. They're not being balanced.
Well, that's
why
my...
the world should win.
No, I understand that.
Come on.
But I mean, you know, the thing is, politically, you know, I want to be on the right side of things.
Let's not be naive about
say,
this whole thing.
No, I understand
this is
that.
Politics.
I understand
dirty
that.
Politics.
It is dirty.
You know,
you
want dirty,
and I think
you
it's despicable
dirty.
That they would even grant airtime to people that they felt are balanced to do this sort of thing.
Mm.
But unfortunately, you know, I mean, it's something to be reckoned with, because that community needs to come out in great numbers as we would.
Okay, let me ask this. We have got to tell the people, the churches and everybody else, to absolutely find out, you know, about the new voting procedure that you may have in your city, your town, your state. Okay, that's extremely important. Now, some of these, you know, repressive things have been struck down by a few courts. Bob Pickett, what do you have to say about this as an attorney?
Well, I think that there needs to be a more aggressive and progressive effort by the Democratic lawyers to try to strike these things down. But I agree with Wayne and his analysis and his assessment. And I think that the potential here is that 5 million people will lose their right and opportunity to participate in this election if these laws are not struck down. Now, I got to blame the Democratic Party now, okay? I'm doing it in a very generic way. They knew about this 2 years, 3 years ago, and they failed to react and respond to this tactic and strategy. The Republicans, and that's one thing I got to say about the Republicans, when they develop a strategy and a tactic, they march lockstep with that tactic and that strategy. And here, the tactic and the strategy was to develop a process, a system to deny 5 million people an opportunity to vote by requiring that they have certain kind of government-issued IDs. And they knew, and it's unfortunate, but they knew that the Democrats would be slow to respond and react to that kind of strategy and that kind of tactic. It may very well be that we are responding and reacting a little bit too late, because the election is, what, less than 60 days away.
Yeah.
It's amazing. Less than 60 days away, we're going to have that election. And unfortunately, courts don't react and respond that quickly to these kinds of issues. Now, there have been maybe about 4 or 5 courts that have responded, with maybe half of those courts upholding the law and the other half rejecting the law and overturning it as unconstitutional.
Well,
it's a sad day when Republicans resort to that kind of strategy and that kind of tactic to deny people an opportunity to vote. This is going to be a close election. Let's not fool ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
You know, white folks want to take their country back. In fact, during the Republican part of the convention, they even said it: "Take back our country." That was
they have been saying it, right?
Theme: "Take back our country." They want to take back their country from this black man. And they're going to do everything in their power to see that that happens, unfortunately.
And on that note, you guys, you know, I want to thank you for coming on. It's been really a pleasure. We'll have to do this again. And
it's
maybe
over?
Yeah. Well, you know, I'm on a big I'm so glad that you came. I'm so glad that you came on, really. I have other things planned, obviously, and I've got to get them done also. But will you promise to come back again and do it again? Okay.
We will.
And we can spend the whole hour, right?
Can I leave you with just one more thing? And this is optics play a very big role in what's going on.
Yeah, go right
in. You watch the the Democratic Convention and the Republican Convention, what has that tell you? You see a mixed bag in that Democratic Convention, you know, blacks, browns, in that audience, whites. Republican Convention, you could barely find a dot in a place.
Yeah, a little pale.
Very telling. Very telling.
It is.
Telling what's going on.
And it speaks to how this country is politically.
Oh,
I mean, it's unfortunate.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And I thought Michelle Obama did a commendable job last night.
She was fabulous.
Oh, okay. Unbelievable. Walk
forward. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Excellent.
Yeah. Michelle Obama.
Right. Both bodies.
We are delighted to have been on your show. Thank you for inviting us.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much. And, you know, we want to make sure I mentioned again the African American Chamber of Commerce of New Jersey is presenting the 212 of 2012 Humanitarian Awards Dinner, Passing the Torch. And this is in honor honoring Gus Henningberg, you know, my partner. And the keynote speaker is Honorable David. So thank you guys for coming on. Let's do it again. Thank you so much. You are indeed top shelf people.
Yeah, I want to make contact with Max.
Wait, we got to talk.
Yeah, certainly. I mean, there's so much to catch. No, well, nothing personal.
Well, you're
I see you want
to Wayne in 100 years.
Yeah, exactly.
Wayne's a legend in his own right. You know,
right. He's sensei. He's sensei.
Thank you.
listen, guys, you forget that I go back a long way and I know secrets.
Well, that's true. But please. Oh, I asked you to testify.
Okay.
You know? No, I don't even want to go there. You don't get me started, you know?
Okay, they're good things. So thank you, guys. We'll talk to you later at another time.
Okay,
has been Bob Slayton, Bob Pickett, and really thank them so much for coming out. What a joy. What a pleasure.
Yeah.
Really loved it.
I knew you mentioned Bob Pickett, but I didn't know.
Well, I was surprised by Bob Slayton when he said he'd come on. I said, good, because I've never met Bob Slayton.
Oh, really?
No, I know
Very
Pickett.
Great guy.
You know, from years ago, I love the show on Sunday. That's not the kind of show that you miss.
Not at all.
And especially during this whole political thing, you know, with some people calling and being so anti-Obama, come on, folks, what is the alternative?
Thank you. I just, I can't begin to tell you that I it's just sad.
We're arguing among ourselves, and for what? You know,
and
destroy what has been built up so far. Put this guy back in order.
I think if anyone was watching, and I'm a little biased, Michelle Obama last night, she told the story.
She did.
She really
and
did.
And so eloquently.
Yeah, really,
And you know, she supported him completely.
Mm-hmm.
She just told it as it was.
Right, right.
So I'm telling you, it was a wonderful thing. I'm dying to, when I get home, I'm going to watch, the whole thing all over again.
Right, right.
Because it probably will be repeated on MSNBC.
Oh, certainly. Yeah, I'm sorry I didn't record it myself.
Me too, Wayne. But I'm so glad you made it tonight.
Same here. You know, when I saw the Republican convention last week, I said, Kay, we got to talk.
Yeah. Well, we have about 15 to 20 more minutes, I'm going to see if Alita Revis, you stay here. If Alita Thomas and Sandy Revis, are here, we're going to talk about Lethal Shield. Remember when I was with prepaid legal years ago?
Right.
I'm back in that. And they have new programs. I'm telling you, Wayne,
it's promoted entirely different now? Or?
Yeah, you can. Yeah, they're called Legal Shield now.
Yeah.
And that means, of course, that you have access and you, of all people, need this.
I know. Tell me.
I was thinking about you, so I'm going to give you this so you can go over that.
Okay.
You know?
All right. For
If Sandy and Alita are here, I'd like them to come into the studio. What we're going to do, Ayanna, can we take a very short break and let them come in? And, then we'll start up again because I really want to get this done. With Legal Shield, because I did promise people who are calling about it, by the way, that we would give out the number again. My number, if you want to reach me, to talk to you directly, is 888-307-5556, and that's about Legal Shield. That's 888-307-5556. We'll be right back. Kay Thompson with Wayne Gilman here on The Kay and Gus Show. Thank you.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. And we are back, everyone. We are back. I'm Kay Thompson for the Game Cast Show here, and we just got finished talking to Bob Pickett and Bob Slade. What a good time that we had, you know, and a lot of information. Those guys are so fantastic. I mean, they really hit the button.
Right.
They really hit points that, you know, people aren't even thinking about, and maybe they're afraid to say. It reminds me of how Reverend Al, when he came on, he was saying the things that people wanted to say.
Right.
Every time he came on during the Toronto Broly case, I mean, so, you know, school was out.
Yeah. It was, well, actually, yeah, to be honest with you, that what you did and Gary and you know, that is a historical piece in time just needs to be highlighted throughout the years because I mean I'm not because I was a part of it, it may sound like as if I'm just being, you know, very braggadocious.
Well, be braggadocious.
But no, honestly, Kay, I mean, the thing is that we miss that here in New York, you know, in the tri-state area.
True.
I mean, the thing, there's so many issues that have just continued since then.
That's right.
And it's just unfortunate that there's no one here to carry the mantle.
That's true.
You know, not to say, I mean, there are people here, but there's no vehicle in which to hear what it is that we used to do on a continuous basis.
We did things that no one else was doing.
Exactly.
Let's face it. Okay.
Right.
And then now over here with Bob and Bob and M2Me.
And their hours
they're
are
picking
too
up that. You know, they should be up for 4 and 5
exactly.
hours.
Exactly. Their hours
was
are
I the
too
only
short.
One in town who was doing 4 and 5 hours like some nuts?
At that time.
Oh, well, thanks a lot.
No, but I mean, the thing is, but you know, look what it did for a whole community.
It was
community.
Fantastic. What I was
look how many businesses you started.
I know.
What I mean?
I had a whole segment devoted to businesses that no one... And
tourism.
You know, really? And you know one thing also, you know, I remember talking about, you know, I wanted to do, you know, said, I think David Lampel put up with me.
No,
this is what it was. It was that no one over there at LIBBLS took women seriously. And David Lampel and the Suttons let me get away with a whole lot of stuff. In other words, I was just creating all this crazy stuff, and they put up with me. Remember, I was doing the first kind of magazine-type show. We did Police Report. We did Children's Forum. We did Better Business. We did the Black Journals. Do you remember that?
Of course.
And then Andy Cooper jumped right on it and came in and said, I have a new newspaper. And what did he do in order to, you know, promote his newspaper?
Cable in your ear.
About what show? What story? Tawana Brawley.
Was I
the lead
and
person
you started
on that?
It. You started Sonny Carson gave you the, not, was it
no,
Sonny
it was Sonny. It was Sonny.
It was Sonny. That
Sonny came up into the control room. No, he called the control room when I was out on 5 o'clock to 9 or something. And Denise Johnson was my engineer
Denise,
at the time.
I haven't seen her in so long.
I wish you
but
was,
I tell you, you know, I'm reminded this past weekend we had another Labor Day parade in Brooklyn.
Yeah.
And all the events that you covered with respect to that.
I know.
And,
I loved it. I was going to be wearing one of those short outfits one day. I was learning how to whine. You know.
Well, I think you do that very well. You had a dance studio one time in your life. So.
Well, we weren't exactly doing that, but I was learning.
Yeah, okay.
Listen, I saw Fela. Have you seen Fela?
No, you know, I heard it's really worth the price of the ticket.
Wait,
I'm sorry. I know.
You in particular would love it.
Oh, really? Why? Is there nudity involved? No, I'm just saying
the dancing was absolutely amazing.
Very provocative.
I'm just talking about the dancing.
Okay.
You know, the sisters were, you know, doing what they do. But
no
I mean,
kidding.
God, when they came out with this party, look.
Oh, really?
And with those figures and then started dancing, even I sat up.
Yeah.
Now, to see this kind of dancing that I haven't seen in years.
Really?
And if I tried it, I'd break my hips and my arms. But anyway, Fela.
I want to see that.
You
and
remember
also,
Oba? Do you remember Oba Oba?
Yeah. I'm jogging my memory now.
That was the thing that I treated.
Oh.
A friend.
Oh, that thing.
and they ended up giving the girls, Sharp James, Mayor of Newark, ended up giving those girls a key to the city.
Is that right?
Now I'm telling it right now.
Wow.
He's probably listening and saying, gosh, darn it, she did it again.
Yeah. I know, right. No one sharp, but how is he doing? Has anyone, you know, since
I've heard that he's
resurfaced.
Doing okay. He's, you know, laying low. You know, his son has a wonderful, you know, bar and grill downtown Newark.
Is that right?
Right across from Public Library downtown, And that's Elliot James.
Yeah.
And his sons, you know, they all came to the Thompson Dance Show to your preschool.
You're kidding.
So, you know, I used to play tennis with Sharp. Sharp, yes, you misled me on a couple of points in tennis. I will get you back one of these days.
Yeah.
Not in sometime soon, because I don't think I'll be playing tennis.
Is he a good tennis player?
Sharp is a good player, a tennis player. You know, he may have fudged on points a little bit.
Oh,
you know?
Okay.
So there's two stories that I have about that would have you on the floor. But I want to tell people about, you know, the Humanitarian Awards dinner, passing the torch. I like to say it's positively passing the torch.
Wow.
And by the way, you know, talking to Bob Martin today, producer, you know, over there at Positively Black. So I'm going to see if, you know, he's going to probably be coming on.
Right.
You know, there's a whole lot of people who's going to be there for the celebration. So,
yeah.
Of what Gus has done. And you know, Wayne, he's done so many things.
I can't believe that, you know, this just tells you a lot about life, you know, the kind of life that he's led. And, you know, it's just so commendable. It's just unfortunate that his health is against him. Mm-hmm. And I hope it is temporary.
Yeah.
And I really hope that he can recover.
Okay.
And I'm glad he will be at this event. Hopefully.
Yes, hopefully.
Right.
Listen, did you see Legal?
Yeah, I know. I have this pamphlet before me, the Legal Shield.
Legal Shield, which
And this used to be part of
prepaid legal. Right.
And, you know, it's so funny.
Look at all the things that you get for inexpensive.
I tell you, you know, it amazes me, because when I look back, I'm sorry that I did not get started with this a long time ago, because I've been discovering so many points in my life right now that I need to
have
covered.
It is not too late. This is why I'm back in it, because of the fact that you remember when I was first doing it, and I was talking about it with Jonathan Blatt, as a matter of fact.
Right.
And what the key words were, you know, you can, and you have access to attorneys inexpensively. When I first started, I was paying $9.95 a month for attorneys.
Yeah.
Okay. And I had to only use them for about 3 or 4 times, but each time won the cases.
Yeah, but know? I mean,
and it only
still
cost me $9.95.
Wow.
Oh, it's gone up to such a huge amount right now. I had to, you know, upgrade it.
Yeah.
I'm paying. You want to know how much?
How much?
$26 a month.
Oh, geez. Okay.
So here
and
you
are. You've been in it for 20 years already.
Yeah, you know, ever since.
And I was looking for a process server the other day that cost me a $300 fine.
Oh.
Yeah,
you need this, my friend.
You know, I do.
Do you have problems with the IRS? No.
Well, I do too, but I mean, I don't even want to talk about them on here, you know. But landlord-tenant has been my problem.
Well, listen, does it have landlord-tenant relations there?
Yeah, I see. In fact, it's the third number 13. Your landlord. Oh, wait, in violation. No, I'm not raising the rent. I just want people to pay the rent. That's the problem.
Yeah. No, really. There's a whole lot of things.
You have to forgive me, Kay. I
forgive you anything you got here.
No. I'm glad I'm here. But the thing is, I had a bout of walking pneumonia last week.
And you're here?
I'm here.
Am I?
No, well, no. I'm cured. Since all of a sudden I'm on, antibiotics and all that.
Yeah, well, that's good.
But,
okay.
Yeah, I'm not looking to spread anything. Let's put it that way. Except my love. You know?
And you had a lot of love.
Yes,
there.
I have. I still do.
Well, this is not hope.
What's left of me.
Listen, I want to give my number for people who want to know about Legal Shield.
Right.
About, you know, and it is a good company, and I really like it. I like it because of the fact that, once you find a company that's telling the truth and they do what they say they're going to do. And I've been in it for over 20 years. And, you know, I had not lost interest, but, you know, I was doing other things with Gus, and, you know, we were doing loads of things in Jersey. And then, you know, when you came along and introduced me to radio again.
Oh, please.
You know, and then I started getting interested in this again and found out that they're 10 times even extended than what they did before.
And not only that, but I found people in New York trying to get me to get involved.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
So I realized it's a little higher there.
Yeah,
but
it is.
Still think
but certainly that's still not much. I think it's about in the 50s.
But it's
maybe
worth it.
Like that,
I mean,
yeah.
Compared to what you go out, and for any kind of legal advice.
Any kind at all.
Because I take the time now to go to housing court to get information. Sometimes
you wouldn't even have
to
go with Legal Shield, I'm telling you now, you know. So I know you're going to be joining up as soon as we leave here.
Oh, no question.
But anyway, the people, if you really want to get in touch with me and have me explain further, my number, I do have, they do give you a, your personal 800 number.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yes, and then, I mean, I'll be able to talk to people directly about it.
Right.
And then really explain a little bit more, because I have had Alita Thomas and, Sandra Ravis here.
Yeah.
And they were explaining exactly what it's all about. And people have been calling about it.
They were
calling over from all over the country.
On tonight.
Yeah. Yeah. But listen, the traffic is deadly out there.
The game is
at the Meadowlands.
Part of the problem.
So that is it. They're probably sitting on the turnpike right now.
Yeah.
Okay. So, you know, New Jersey and New York, I couldn't work in New York anymore. You know why? Because the fact that I would not be able to get here. I don't ride the trains. I always have to drive.
You know, and I tell you, Kay, I'm at the lofty point in my life now that I'm willing to cross the river and stay here.
Yeah.
I'll go back to see family.
We've been talking
friends.
About that for the
you
longest
know,
period
and I,
of time.
And I'm very serious because somehow when I get on this side, I feel very calm.
Yeah.
I feel the
but
stress.
But you, at the same time, you still feel
apart.
Energized.
Yeah, yeah, that's
and,
it.
And, you know, lively
yeah,
and alive.
Right,
you know, and just
right.
you just feel good about that.
Exactly.
And you know how funny I think things are now these days.
And
know.
I find so many people I've known, I mean, not to put Reverend Al's business on the street, but the thing is that I've run into people within his organization.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
they've all moved over here.
Yeah.
You'd be surprised how many
know.
People
now,
were former
well,
Harlemites that, yeah. that are living in the
I know a lot of them, I'm telling you.
Yeah.
But listen, the number for people to get in touch with me, for guys, if you want to get in touch with me, it's 888-307-5556.
Mm.
Now, that is my number, my 800 number for you to call, and I will give you personally. And I personally will answer every single call because I have a tendency to do that all day long, you know, when I'm at
right.
home, you know, doing
yeah.
my work, especially for the show.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, I'm one of the most, we have the most listeners here on GoPro Radio
wow.
Network, so Ty tells me.
Yeah.
So we're building up our audience. And then also, Wayne, you know, we have quite an audience, and I told you before, let me give up my number, 1-888-307-5556. 888-307-5556, and we still have some time left. What was I going to tell you?
No, you were talking about the size of the audience, and I also want to be a participant here. In fact,
yeah.
we were trying
we
to
were
do
heard.
Something with Pat Atwell.
And you will be, I'm quite sure. I just know you're going to be here. You know. So,
okay.
Yeah. But, see, you made me lose
I'm
a
sorry.
Point again.
Kay,
Jesus.
You can't be as old as I am.
I am. No, but I've lost it. I've lost it. I don't know why. I'm losing
the size of the audience.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Also, now, I always tell people, we're not only heard locally and nationally. Now, this is the difference between
right.
us when we were on LIB and
yeah.
it was Tri-State, right?
Mm-hmm,
okay.
Mm-hmm.
We're heard not only nationally, not only locally and nationally, but globally.
That's the thing.
We had callers when I had Junius Williams on with Jazz, and I had he was in Newark. We're
right.
here in Jersey City. And Rick G down there in Fort Lauderdale in Florida, all of them on. Rick said, can I say hello to my friends? I said, sure, say hello. He was saying hello all over the place. The next week, he said, you may be, the next day, Ruth, he said, you may be interested in these emails. Emails from the Swiss Alps.
Wow.
Emails from South America, Rio de Janeiro. Emails from all over. One place, I don't know if it was France or Italy, he told me. You know, and here these people say, we heard you loud and clear.
Mm.
And it was the strangest thing, Wayne, because, you know, I know that Donald has called me, you know, had called me, you know, when he was alive. My
right.
brother-in-law,
right.
Donald Payne, had called me when he was, you know, in Rwanda, Uganda, you know, Somalia,
yeah, exactly.
wherever. And it just didn't dawn on me then because it was so normal that he would call wherever he was,
right,
you know.
Right.
But, I mean, to have, you know, people email
I know,
and
I
say
know.
You coming in loud and clear.
It's amazing. And
yeah,
I just
so
think
thrilled.
It's
yeah.
just a matter of time before yeah. it's in the cars.
The
and once that happens,
yeah.
forget about
and
it.
And you have so much information. I told you, your voice is absolutely fantastic. Almost as good.
Well, almost.
Mine is sexy.
Yeah, I know.
Yes.
And that's why I come
especially
here,
when, especially when I go to the FM. Chief's bulls eat your heart out.
Oh, yeah. What's becoming? You've been throwing the names out today, boy, I tell you.
Listen, you haven't thrown Gary out there yet now. Oh. Gary's our buddy over there at BAI.
Yeah,
doing
yeah,
fantastic.
Yeah.
Kind of hard to get to Gary. He is so busy. You know
uh-huh.
you know him. He will work and work until a show is absolutely perfect.
Perfect, yeah.
Yeah,
yeah.
yeah. We have only 1 minute. Wayne Gilman, thank you.
Thank you. And I'm forgive my tardiness, but
you.
I got caught up in that traffic.
No, I know. Day, I know. God bless you. You're here.
Yeah.
You're
going
to come back again.
Yeah,
know.
I will. I will. I would like to attend the events for Gus.
Yes, of course. We'll talk about
you know,
that right
and,
after.
And I'm so glad you mentioned brought up the memory of
yeah.
the late Congressman Donald Payne.
Yeah.
It's just hard to believe that
I know.
He's gone.
I know.
Has it been a year already?
No. No,
okay.
not a year.
And he
my
been
sister.
A,
my
oh,
sister.
Your sister too, right.
And I can't still can't absorb that. I haven't been able to deal
I know,
with it.
I mean, when you told me that just hit me like a ton of bricks, you know? But... Kay, I mean, just hang in there. I mean, you're an amazing vision of strength, you know?
Thank you
I
very
mean
much,
that,
Wayne Gilman.
Wholeheartedly.
Okay. Listen,
know?
Thanks for listening, everyone. Thank you, Wayne.
Right.
Thanks,
thank
Bob.
You.
Thanks,
okay.
Bob. Thanks, M. Tillman. Thanks, Gus. Thanks, Lisa. Thanks, Gina. Thanks, Christy. Eric, Lisa, Gina, Christy. Bermuda, Brian, Brian.